Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Pat Iyer, and I have with me Dana Jolly, who is a legal nurse consultant with over 20 years of diverse nursing experience. She got into legal nurse consulting in the year 2002, working as a clinical expert witness. From there, she built a business advising attorneys throughout the U.S. on medically related litigation. And Dana is board certified in the specialty practice of legal nurse consulting, which she obtained in 2005. Dana and I met through AALNC, the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants. She's active in both the national and local levels and has served on the prestigious American Legal Nurse Consultant Certification Board, which is the board that creates the questions for the certification that leads to the LNCC certification. And she's also chaired the research committee as well as worked on other committees. Dana is in the Virginia area. She has served as the president of the Central Virginia chapter. And she is currently working on updating a publication called Evaluation of Surgical and Anesthesia Cases, which is for the upcoming fourth edition of the Principles and Practice of Legal Nurse Consulting. So Dana, welcome to the show.
Pat, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Tell us about that first case that you got as an expert witness. How did that come into your life?
Complete serendipity. I just have to say that. I'd never heard of legal nurse consulting. I was not looking to leave my job in the PACU. I just was traveling with a boyfriend, and our flight was delayed, and I struck up a conversation with a fellow passenger who happened to be a nurse paralegal, which is a term sometimes used to describe legal nurse consultants. She was thrilled to meet me. And later, I understood why she was so excited. It's so hard to find a good nurse expert. But that's how I got started. I met her at the airport, and I followed up with her after our trip, and she sent me a case probably 6 months or so after that encounter.
Then how did that first experience as being an expert go for you?
I'm laughing because, as you might imagine, you know, going from a completely clinical environment to one where there are some business skills that are needed, it was nothing but a learning process. I was a complete blank slate. I was not able to support the nurse. This was a defense case, and I was not able to support her. So I was there was a lot of anxiety leading up to the phone call because I was anticipating that was not going to be met with a good response. So when I delivered my bad news and the response was, oh, okay, well, thank you very much, and a couple of other questions, I was really surprised. But I didn't know how much to charge. I didn't know to put the case name or a tax ID on my invoice. So it was the start of my career, and I was definitely starting at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Makes me think about the first expert witness report that I wrote, which I had heavily footnoted and made reference to various textbooks and quoted chapters and authors. The defense attorney who hired me said, Pat, this is not the way you write an expert report. I had never seen one before. I had no idea.
Right.
This is, now this is difficult because you wrote it and it was prior to the change in the regulations that made the first draft and subsequent drafts non-discoverable until the final report was submitted. So he ended up working with me in terms of making some changes. But you're right, you enter a whole new world with its own language and its own rules, and you don't really find out about them until you break them.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right.
What does your company do now?
So Jolly Consulting has grown into a national legal nurse consultancy, and we serve clients throughout the U.S., providing analysis of medical facts on most any type of case, civil or criminal. And our services are pretty typical for legal nurse consultancies. We do chronologies, timelines, cost estimates, demonstrative evidence exhibits, expert witnesses, anything else that we might be asked to do. The reason that I feel like we've been able to grow is we rarely say no. We usually try to find a way to give the client what they're asking for.
As you think back on the cases that you have handled, is there one that stands out in your mind as being the most interesting one?
I think the story that I like to tell the most is the one about, this was a plaintiff case, and she was a failure to diagnose laryngeal cancer. And this course was over several years where she was presenting with particular symptoms, and they did not discover the laryngeal cancer. So once that was diagnosed, during the workup, of course, you know, they do the PET scans and they're looking for metastasis and that kind of thing. Lo and behold, she had one spot in each lung, which were biopsied and were separate primary sources of cancer. Hmm. So we were dealing with, our allegation was the failure to diagnose the laryngeal cancer, but we also had to bring the jury around these other two lung cancers that were diagnosed. So we had three primary types of cancer. And we also had to deal with the fact that we had three ENT defendants. So we had three defendants, three sets of defense lawyers, three different kinds of cancer. It's complexity at its best. And in most medical malpractice cases, it came down to the experts. And I actually had recruited and retained these experts for this particular case, so I was able to go to the trial and actually see how they did. And I was very glad that I did. So we put on the ENT expert first, and our ENT expert actually taught the defense ENT expert. So we were thrilled to find out that our expert was a mentor to their expert, and our expert said that they should have actually identified the laryngeal cancer. The other thing that I like about this particular ENT is, given the complexity of this case, he gave this analogy that made it so easy for the jury to understand what was going on. And that's really when I saw the power of a good expert. When they can take something this complex and give an analogy to the jury, and I literally see the jury nodding their head, mm-hmm. and they can see them understanding this complex situation. And then the next expert that we had was an oncology expert for the causation piece. And I felt like she was even more compelling. She was from New England. This case was venued in Virginia. And she was from New England. And she seemed, my stereotypical picture of a New Englander is this, it was this woman. She was very petite. And she was blonde, and she had on a very conservative suit, and she had tights on with flat shoes. So she looked small on the stand, and it was just wonderful because when the defense attorney attempted to impeach her with her deposition testimony, she quickly quashed him, reminding him that he did not let her finish her answer in the deposition, and she was going to finish that answer here in court. And when she said that, these two women in the jury, the two women jurors looked at each other and nodded their heads. And I thought, well, we have them. And in fact, we did. Mm-hmm. So that was probably a very challenging case. It was a difficult venue, and we won a plaintiff verdict well above what we thought we would get. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably one of the most complex and interesting cases that I've worked on. But I have to say, I am a bit of a nerd when it comes to these kinds of cases, because I do find them all interesting in their own way. Because, as you know, there may be a similar case, but the facts of each case are different, and that's where you have to go where the facts of the case take you.
Mm-hmm. What about if we think about challenging attorneys to work with? Tell us about your most challenging attorney client.
You know, I think probably the ones that challenge me the most, and I can't even think of one that I could just, like, pick out that I would say he or she would be my most challenging. I think the type of attorney that's the most challenging for me are the ones that are inexperienced or disorganized. There is a lot of support required for those type of clients in my experience. And I also think when you're working with someone who's inexperienced or disorganized, that you have to know what your scope is as a legal nurse consultant. Because they may ask you to do something outside of your scope. I don't think that they would do that maliciously. I think that they feel like, you know, it's up to you to know whether or not you can do something. So I think when you're working with an inexperienced or disorganized client, you need to stay on your toes about what they're asking you to do. And I will sometimes suggest to inexperienced clients that they affiliate with a more experienced medical malpractice attorney. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't always follow that advice, and that's fine. Because what I have found is being a strong legal nurse consultant is a way for some of these less experienced attorneys to, number one, gain experience, and also they can take cases that they might actually refer out. So I have seen that actually happen with one of my younger, more inexperienced clients. He has gone on to develop his own medical malpractice niche, which I've been thrilled to see.
Mm-hmm.
The other kind of attorneys that I find the most challenging are the demanding perfectionist type.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know that type well.
Yeah, but I like working with them because I feel like they set the standard, the bar so high that I want to meet it. So I find myself becoming better as I try to meet their unrealistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like to work with them, but it can be exhausting. I'll say that.
The combination of demanding and perfectionist and also not willing to pay reasonable invoices is problematic in my experience.
Yes. I have been lucky that I have had a rare experience with invoices. I have not had a lot of problem with that, but I know that it is an issue. When I do have a problem invoice, I try to set that up at the beginning with retainers and fee sheets and those kinds of things. And then one of the things that I have found helpful with new clients, if they feel like, if I get a sense from them that they're concerned about the cost of hiring us, one of the things that I do is offer them, let's work for 4 hours and then we'll see where we are, or whatever, you know, depending on the scope of the of the project. But, you know, take a time, a chunk of time, and say, let us work on it to here, and then we can reconvene, see where we are, where we're going. And that seems to give a sense of control to the client, and that maybe has helped me avoid some of the invoicing issues that others have had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a great practice.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about...
It just helps build that trust up a little bit. Sorry, Pat.
Yes, that's... Yeah, and it's really essential that the attorney trust you, because you're entrusted with that attorney's case that he or she's been working on for sometimes quite a long number of months before you become involved. And there's, as you get to know the attorneys in their web, you realize that sometimes they've got a personal relationship with the plaintiff. That person could be a neighbor, or they could have represented them in another transaction, or the client came from one of their good referral sources. There's often dynamics that we don't know about that drive the attorney's behavior as well.
Absolutely, and very good point. My clients usually will let me know if it's, you know, if it's an important referral source for them or those kinds of things. But now I have learned to actually ask them about that. And trust is definitely the cornerstone of any good relationship with your attorney client.
Could you share with us some things that you do in your business to cultivate great relationships with attorneys?
Yes. I think the biggest issue is your work product. You have to give a good work product, or they're going to look for someone else, no matter what your relationship is with them. So for me, it's being responsive. I think I've had great success being honest. If I've made a mistake or if I have missed something, I come right out and say that. They are used to me saying, we dropped the ball, or, you know, we need to regroup here. And I think that they appreciate that, and that helps them understand or helps them trust me early on, because they know that I'm going to own up to anything that I need to own up to. And I use a lot of humor. I do that, which also helps all relationships. But I think one of the biggest that I would offer to our audience would be to consider doing office hours in your client's offices. This was not my idea. My clients came up with this. And they asked me to go on, you know, one day a week, I go and sit in their library, and I work, and they use that time to come and talk to me about cases. They'll schedule clients to come in, and we'll meet with them. We will sit and strategize about certain cases, and that practice has probably helped me become a better legal nurse consultant than anything else I've done, is to just immerse myself with the clients once a week, knowing that we are going to just go over cases and talk about strategies and things like that. I don't spend the whole afternoon. The hours are not set. They just know for this particular client on Tuesday afternoon, after 1 o'clock, I'm going to be in the library for at least an hour or two, sometimes longer. So that would be something I would suggest. And then the other one everybody has heard about is paying attention to support staff. I cannot stress that enough. And one of the nuances that I'll share is I do whatever I can do to make the support staff life easier. So if that means that I have to do something twice, or I have to send them something again, whatever it is, if they're driving me crazy, whatever it is, I'm going to do that because it cultivates that relationship. So those are some things that I do to cultivate my relationship.
And sometimes the support staff move to a different law firm, and then
yes,
they take you along with them to the new law firm, which is a sweet deal.
That is very sweet, and I have been I've been lucky enough to have that happen a lot. It happens a lot, and paralegals and legal assistants, even the law firm receptionists, they will move they move around a lot. Paralegals, I think, are a lot like nurses. If they get to a job that they don't like, they just go somewhere else. And that is extending your network because you've already cultivated that relationship with that paralegal or legal assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picked up a new case yesterday from that very situation. The paralegal had left one firm and gone to another.
What do you see as the skills that are important to possess to be a successful legal nurse consultant?
I think to be a successful legal nurse consultant, you have to have perseverance. That would be the word that I would say would kind of sum it up, meaning that you have to have perseverance to learn how to be a legal nurse consultant. As we mentioned at the beginning of this talk about how the worlds are so different between clinical nursing and legal nurse consulting. They're almost opposites. And it's a difficult learning curve. So I think if you need to persevere through that learning curve, and you also need to persevere in your business. Don't give up too soon. You have to be, so that's the first one, and then analytical, almost obsessive about detail, resourceful. You have to know where you can find things, and you have to have a can-do attitude. My clients, you know, they rely on me. I can't go to them and say, I don't know the answer. I have to have the answer. So those are some things that I would say are critical to a legal nurse consultant. As far as technology goes, it's helpful to have some technology background, but you don't have to have technology background to be a successful legal nurse consultant. You can always hire somebody to handle that piece of it for you.
And are there any additional tips or tricks or secrets that you would identify to share with our audience that would be helpful in building a successful practice?
One of the things that I would say is you cannot stress your work product enough. That is the service that you are providing. So that's where you need to start, is your work product. And then once you get that good and straight, then go and start marketing and trying to build a business. My thought is if I had my crystal ball 20 years ago, I probably would not have built my independent practice. I probably would have built my independent practice subcontracting for legal nurse consultants. So that's something that I always say to legal nurse consultants that are looking to build an independent practice. You need to also consider legal nurse consultants, not just attorneys. There are lots of legal nurse consultants out there that need more legal nurse consultants. So I would suggest that you look there and market the legal nurse consultants that are looking to hire. And your work product.
A little earlier in the series, I interviewed Mindy Cohen, who has a successful practice, and she said the same thing in terms of, don't overlook marketing to legal nurse consultants to hire you as a subcontractor to get some experience and develop the skills that are necessary to be successful.
Exactly. So you essentially, you know, when you are a subcontractor, that's a mentorship. It's just a different word for it. But you're still being taught how to produce a good work product by legal nurse consultants, whether you're as a subcontractor. So I agree 100% with Mindy. I know she hires legal nurse consultant contractors. I know I do. I know a lot of legal nurse consultants throughout the country that hire legal nurses, and we are usually looking for them. So if you're an experienced legal nurse and you're looking for opportunities, you should check out some of the legal nurse consultants that are hiring.
Could you tell us in closing a story about the attorney that you've worked with the longest and why you think that relationship has lasted?
I have many long-term clients. I've had most of my base clients I've had for over 15 years. or 15 years in accounting. So, and I think the reason is that we deliver a good work product, which I've said 100 times, and we respond to curveballs. So when they call you and you have to stop what you're doing and change direction and then deliver something completely different, we respond to that, and we do that with hopefully grace and flexibility, and I think that also helps because they know, people know when they're throwing you a curveball, whether they acknowledge it or not, they know that, and for you to be able to respond and produce what they're asking you for, I think does a lot to cultivate that relationship. And I drop in from time to time. Yesterday I took we have these specialty popsicles, so I took those to one of my clients' offices, and it did not cost me a lot of money to do that, but it made a huge bang. So those kinds of things of unexpected treats or communications, but mostly it's the business of doing what we're paid to do in a pleasant and timely manner.
I'm intrigued by these popsicles. I have to ask, Dana, is it the color? Is it the shape? Is it the scales of justice? Is it?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's a place in the, right in the neighborhood where my office is, and if they do gourmet.
Oh.
And they have all different kinds of flavors. So, yes, and there were people in the office were arguing about which flavor they were going to get, and it was just, they're sending emails about who ate what. It's been a lot of fun. But the popsicles are just, and plus it's so hot here, so it was perfect for us. But I don't think that they will ship them. I know that they gave me dry ice to take to deliver them. So if anybody's interested in learning more about the popsicles, you can contact me privately.
Well, it does sound a little iffy. What if they end up coming in a little puddle of liquid?
But the
point I think that you're making, Dana, if I could interpret for you, is that it wasn't Christmas, it wasn't Thanksgiving, it wasn't the attorney's birthday. It was an unexpected treat that just literally walked in their door.
Yes.
And it was consideration and appreciation that you were showing, which makes that gift a whole lot more significant than something that comes in on December 23rd.
Yes, and it stands out. I do not give holiday gifts. I send a card, but I do not give gifts or goodies to the firms during the holiday season because I don't think it stands out. So some other options that people have said are sending birthday cards with a birthday gift. People will send New Year's to stand out a little bit, sometimes a Thanksgiving card. So I've done those things in the past. So I try to do the gift on an off time, exact for the point that you just made. To me, it's more of a thank you for using us and our relationship, and it stands out more. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where can people go to find out more about you?
The Virginia Department of Corrections.
Oh, yes. How much time are you doing there, Jane?
It's jollyconsulting.net, and you can reach us that way. My email is Dana, D-A-N-A, at jollyconsulting.net.
Well, thank you, Dana Jolly, for joining us. We're glad that you're out on parole and you could share this opportunity to speak with us today.
I am so thankful that you asked me to join you, Pat. I just love this, and I think you do a great job with these podcasts and just trying to get information out there to the legal nurse community. So thank you for all you do for us.
Well, thank you, Dana, and this has been a session of Legal Nurse Podcasts. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week with a new show, and thank you for joining us today.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.